The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined by someone I'd love to talk to, Owen Curry. Owen, you're very welcome to talk about
matters. It was a great pleasure, Luke.
Matters tourism. Lots of stuff this weekend. Let's start with the IT outage.
Yeah, IT outage went down on Friday. Went around the world with the time zones. Qantas were the first people to tell us their systems were down. We really did well in Dublin. Three flights were cancelled, which...
That was all, was it? So it was minimal. Really.
We have three flights cancelled today, for instance. Yeah. The US passengers were the worst hit. There were 12 outbound from Dublin, United, Delta and American, and three from Shannon, and they were all those aircraft were grounded for a period on Friday morning, so everything was a bit late.
Right.
Everyone got out. The Ryanair app finally got up last night for bookings, and the website, they were unable to check people in. A lot of money gets lost in these situations, but that's
an inconvenience. But
Like Ryanair will have lost, what would you be, but they would be taking €40 million in bookings a day. That's what you lose.
Will they sue CrowdStrike then?
I have no idea how CrowdStrike are going to come out of this. Their share price is going south. I don't know if they'll, you wonder if they survive. If everyone sues them for the amount of money that was lost, it's just colossal. But it's a learning.
It's a learning.
They depend too heavily on one company, 26,000 clients around the world. They were the white-haired guys. Yep. They were the ones who'd investigated Russian interference in the American election. The Pentagon loved them. And everybody went to them. And it was, designed to stop the system being brought down by a hacker. And ironically, the anti-hack system is what brought the system down.
It was
down.
The most ironic of things, wasn't it? What struck me was I went back to the days that we remember of
paper tickets.
Paper, can you imagine?
There were people
remember
with
the
paper
days
tickets.
Of those little Belfast slippery tickets that we used to hand in and check
that's
in.
That's it. And there's about four of them. And there's,
there's carbon copy.
Carbon paper in between. Some of the people listening to this don't even know
what
carbon paper is.
And
the Belfast International Airport brought out the old whiteboard.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
you know the one they used to have in classrooms long ago and wrote flight delayed, and this is your time. And this was all being marked up and marker on a whiteboard. But it was great.
It struck me, though, recently. We all go through now with our iPhones and then we scan them and walk through. That could easily be hacked or could be... all international travel could be stopped if someone could get into those systems. I know this is a bit like a James Bond villain type thing. But we're so reliant, aren't we now, on these technologies for travel?
Not only are we reliant, like the people who used to process these things and knew how to process them are no longer employed.
Oh, yeah.
So when something goes wrong, you don't have enough people behind a desk. Yeah. You don't have enough people answering the phone.
Right.
You don't have enough people for stranded passengers. Yeah. And like social media, we're all saying, oh, please, what can I do? My flight is cancelled. The reality is Ireland did quite well, but some of the other European airports had to close altogether. Berlin had to close for a while. Zurich had to close for a while. Anywhere where the scanning devices that you scan your boarding pass on, getting you through the barriers, they were in deep trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dublin was okay. Aer Lingus were untouched, and Ryanair got through. They manually checked in people. I think Ryanair are getting better at crisis. I think they've just had enough of them in recent times between French air traffic control strikes and the whole, all that. What's that strange thing you were talking about? I've forgotten the word COVID.
Oh, no, we don't want
that. That you were talking about just now. But having come through all of that, airlines are getting better
at
crisis.
Adaptable,
and it's a very busy time of the year, getting everyone, getting spare seats. If your flight is cancelled, you don't get prioritised on the next flight. You're actually at the back of the queue. The next flight. So they're looking for three or four extra seats and trying to move people around at this time of the year. Very, very difficult when flights are full, but they've been managed to do it through the last 2 days. There was a lot of flights cancelled globally yesterday. I think the last of the hangover will be in America and India for the next 2 days.
Right.
But Ireland got through it without too much chaos.
Very good, But the big thing I want to talk about, of course, is over tourism, because there's lots of stuff on that at the moment.
Huge subject.
Across Europe, pressure, you know, on health services, waste management, water supplies, housing, all kinds of things. There's threats of caps on tourism. Tourism tax. This is all a bit gloomy, isn't it? But it's a big topic, isn't it?
That's, huge topic. And the way I see it at three levels. First of all, we've got these amazing cities. People are generating back towards, you know, the same iconic attractions. attractions. We do like to see Eiffel Towers and Colosseums and cities in Europe that were built really to keep out people because they didn't want to be besieged. Narrow gates, narrow streets. I've been complaining about it for a long time. Dubrovnik is an example. Barcelona is an example. Venice, Amsterdam. I mean, the first complaint about over-tourism in Venice goes back to the 1790s that I came across in my vast collection of travel quotes.
Complaining for a long time.
But there's a second strand of this, and it's more interesting, newer, and a little bit more worrying. And this is this summer. Places that depend on tourism, Canary Islands, Balearics, are example, seeing protests. Different kind of complaint. Noise. Tourists crowd these places. They bring noise, the traffic, the pressure on services, everything, refuse services, the sewage systems, everything is built for this huge influx of tourists. And also, prices go up and pressure comes on things like accommodation. So they particularly, young people trying to buy houses find the tourists have bought the houses, and people looking for a rental accommodation find all the rental accommodation isn't available. And they say, look at Airbnb, it's there instead. I'm not sure the cause and effect is as clean as that. But local politicians, they're addressing their message to local politicians rather than to deter tourists. The third strand is ideological. It's basically tourism, travel is bad. It brings globalization. It brings emissions. That's more difficult an argument because if you're in the trenches with an ideological argument, you tend to be more absolutist rather than gradualist in it. And that is come into the mix very forcefully in the last 4 or 5 years. Over-tourism wouldn't have been a word that anyone would have heard of more than 10 years ago.
No.
It's now become one of the current debates of the summer, and we're seeing political reaction, which is addressing a rental, short-term rental situation or a housing situation takes years, if not decades. So a politician looking for a quick answer is increasingly turning on short-term rental. Not a good trend, in my opinion. I'm not sure that the rental properties on Airbnb are going to show up in the long-term rental market. And we do have a tendency, and it's happened in Ireland as well, Luke, for the issue of tourism rentals not to be taken by a tourism department who know what they're doing, but be put into the housing department who would see it as use of a resource that could be put to something else for their priorities. That's a conflict we've seen. 83% of the short-term tourism rentals, holiday homes in Scotland, disappear because of a measure there last October. And we are talking about doing something similar in Ireland. Right. It could mean the end of the holiday home business as we know it in Ireland.
Right. How bad's it getting then on the ground for tourists? I mean, there isn't too much. I did see examples of people using water pistols to squirt to the tourists, for example. But at the moment, it isn't really affecting the tourists who turn up in Venice. There's no abuse from the locals, is there necessarily?
A protest at 12 o'clock on a Saturday isn't going to be even noticed.
Yeah.
It's not affecting booking patterns at all. The very highly publicised incident where Barcelona were squirting water, it's not serious enough to be a threat to tourists. But we are not far off a situation where tourists, remember what threatens tourists? It's real crime. The same thing that happens threatens Irish people. Tourists in Temple Bar being mugged like Irish people are mugged. Yeah. That's what people are concerned with when they go away. That's what shows up in the warnings of the Department of Foreign Affairs. Anti-tourism protests haven't even started there, but I'm not sure we're far away from anti-tourism protests turning into something more hostile directed at the tourists.
And UNESCO have said it's turning into a volatile situation. They must be worried because people are going to places like Venice or whatever beautiful spots that UNESCO raid. So they must be seeing something happening which is concerning them.
There was always complaints about tourists. There were always people mumbling. There was a little bit of shouting at tourists, you're not wanted here.
Yeah.
It tended to be the local head case, just letting off steam. But we have the situation now where anything that involves, a protest against tourism or abuse of tourists is very well platformed. The access to distribute this widely on social media is there for everyone. Who, and very often the people who set out to bully tourists will do it with a camera in hand. Now that the impact of that internationally could be great. I'm not sure the major tourist destinations like Barcelona, Dubrovnik and Venice are suffering at all. In fact, right. the evidence is all the other way. They're just so iconic.
Well, booming,
people will continue to go there. And there's a huge problem. Every single town in Spain would love to have the problem. Every single town in Europe. Well, like Granard would love to have the problem of Galway with over tourism, but it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to put an Instagram of the village next door.
No.
They want to be at the Eiffel Tower or the Leaning Tower of Pisa or the Colosseum.
But the numbers are striking, aren't they? So many people seem to be going all over the place, basically. The numbers of tourists in all these places has gone up hugely. There's another phrase that came across is revenge tourists. Now, what that means is revenge for the pandemic. In other words, they were stuck at home and now we're going to travel.
Okay, these things are made up by, you know, let's face it, revenge tourism.
I wasn't quite sure what that meant.
Revenge against who? Terms. Like, I'm going to get my revenge on Paris by going there.
Yeah.
No, there was the revenge tourism translates in the, you know, you're an academic. When the academics get it and it turned it into that anodyne terms that academics use. It's basically the pent up demand that was waiting to go. People, about one third of the population had came out of the pandemic better off than they were before. So they had money to spend. See, we saw Galapagos, you know, Antarctica, all these amazingly expensive trips. A good high demand for that. People called it revenge tourism. It was nothing of the sort. What you've got to remember is we're not back to pre-pandemic. While we're complaining about tourism numbers and while some destinations are higher than before, and Ireland is one of the few countries where we're moving in larger numbers, we're very close to where we were pre-pandemic, and some of the airlines doing more. But realistically, we're not back to where we were in 2019. What is different is the combination of those three things has led to people sort of saying, oh, we don't want more tourism. Tourism isn't a good thing. And that was, it's like globalization. Everybody in for the last 20 years has said globalization is good, bringing people in contact with each other, trading with each other is good. It was questioned. And perhaps people who were living in that world sleepwalked into this situation by not defending it enough.
Right.
Have the Donald Trumps and all of those sort of things out of it.
One last quick question. The other buzz phrase I saw this morning is coolcation. Now, what do you know what that means? It means you go to somewhere like Ireland where the weather's cool.
Yeah,
is Ireland going to benefit from global warming? Because people don't want to go to Greece.
I'm hoping for a few cools from Clare in the hurling final today. No, the reality is that we're in this probably in the second year of the El Nino cycle.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to get a heat wave like we did 97, 98 and 82, 83. And there's people, you know, factoring that in, but it isn't affecting booking patterns at all. Ireland, the Spanish, Ireland's figures to Spain for the first 5 months of this year are up 18% of what they were last year.
So people are still going to the sun.
They see it and they sort of say, oh, I'd be careful about that. Now, the important consumer side of this is that if you feel you'll be affected by heat wave, and we're likely to hit a heat wave at some stage, Greece has been quite warm in the last 2 weeks. That's where I'm just back from myself. But you're not entitled to unilaterally change unless you've got medical evidence that sun will affect you or damage you some way. And the insurance companies will go through that. The airline won't give you an automatic change. It's called sun holidays for a reason, Luke. We all want to go there, especially the summer we're having at the moment.
Indeed we do. Owen, thank you very much.
Always a huge pleasure, Luke.
Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel Magazine. Thanks for joining us this morning.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.